You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm glad to be here today. Feeling a little bit under the weather, I apologize for not being here Friday, but that's the joy of having a nice big community growing. Once one person gets the flu, by golly, then everyone gets the flu, and it seems like I understand a little bit more what the bubonic plague was like back in the day, where everyone just gets sick. You've got that one guy that hasn't gotten sick, and you don't know if he's either a warlock or cavorting with Satan, or maybe it's the Jews. You never know what happened there.
Well, as always, I'm Matt Parrott. Thanks for introducing me.
I was going to get to that. Well, I wanted to go down that rabbit hole, though.
Well, I'm an early adopter, and I got sick first, so I'm surrounded by people who are sick, and I'm feeling fantastic.
You're walking on sunshine.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than that feeling whenever the flu completely leaves you, and you really take your health. You don't take your health for granted for a couple days.
Yeah, well, I hate you. But we're here because our mission is to be able to be here, because I'm Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here to tell you the truth. And lots of things going on here in the world, as always. Every day brings us closer to Ragnarok, to whatever you want to call it, whatever tradition you come from. The battle between good and evil becomes more clear and more stark every single day of our lives. So what are we dealing with today? Well, interesting thing I want to kick off with. This past weekend, mad props to White Lives Matter, who were out in multiple cities in the United States. They were out there, especially in Texas. I think they were in like three cities in Texas. Those guys and gals, absolutely amazing. And something interesting happened that at one of these rallies. Of course, the leftists were there, but the Reds were there, and they were armed, not with pistols, but with tactical weapons, with their faces covered, which of course violates the law. It actually violates the anti-Klan laws. I would really love anti-Klan laws to be enforced strongly, because that would basically mean every anti-fascist would go to prison whenever they show up to a rally. But this escalation of politics, as we saw, of course, the MPI conference this weekend, Emily Ukis, right?
Useless, I think.
No, it's I think she's like Lithuanian. I think it's got a harsher, like, I think it's Ukis.
I think she claims to be Fingolian.
Fingolian?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's I
feel like we should stop the live show and go through like an anthropology lesson before I'm educated enough to continue this. Okay, anyway. But she was attacked. Her cameraman was thumped pretty good. Outside of NPI people, she's a young girl getting spray painted and stuff and knocked around, and the left is escalating. I mean, there's no question on that.
What's important though is she stood her ground.
She did.
And not only did she stand her ground, but she kept her bearing with more firmness than the vast majority of adult men.
Yeah, I for reals, for what I saw with all the video, she deserves a Heimbach tip of the Stahlhelm for everything that she did. I mean, that's courage. You know, she's a young girl that's put herself out there. She's dedicated a lot of her time to, of course, writing and doing all the work for an animated project basically about the alt-right that's coming together really well. It's very bizarre, but it's really good. I never thought I'd see, like, Colonel Gaddafi with, like, a dog and Donald Trump, fighting for truth and justice together. It's a pretty interesting thing. But she works hard, and she puts herself out there, and she really did face down against the Reds. She didn't cower at all, even after, like, it was getting really hostile and mean. And I have to say, there's a lot of currencies in this movement of things you can get, things you can work on. But courage is one of those things that is so crucial. And no amount of money will give you courage. No amount of whatever you have. It's just in your backbone. So I definitely have to give her mad credit for that. And it was very impressive. But, as we saw at MPI the first night, the Reds got several of the venues canceled for where they were going to meet. And then, of course, Storm, the final location, ended up throwing foul-smelling liquid, as it was described, I think, by the Washington Post, on Richard Spencer and others, and really just being violent, being out there. They attacked multiple people, other than Emily, and you know, some got thumped pretty good. So let's talk about this in the in the span of the weekend.
Well, the foul-smelling liquids thing is especially important to me, because it really that's such a uniting thread of degenerates and Jewry to think that if they can smear you with their filth, that they've somehow humiliated you. And if you read the Gospels, like I'm not saying Richard Spencer's Christ or anything, but I think the analogy still barely holds here. You know, when it's said that it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. And the way...
All right, I'm going to grab some duct tape to try and hold this metaphor together.
No, but what I'm saying is that they try to smear us, and they're always trying to, you know, with piss-filled condoms and stuff that we've had to deal with. There's this idea that you can somehow bring them down to your level. And if you read, like, the Talmud, where you know, Christ is boiling in excrement, the humiliations that Christ had to bear when they were mocking him, and it doesn't achieve the effect that they desire. They want so bad to be like, ha ha, we covered you in our filth, like our Santorum, our feces, ha ha, now you're one of us. And it doesn't work that way.
No, but one day we will cover them in dirt.
Yes.
Because everybody dies, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take that the wrong way. Getting off track there. Let's talk about the escalation of the Reds. Bringing guns and tactical guns. By golly, though, I tell you what, I think I would be more scared of like a skinhead or something on our side sitting there petting a puppy than I am like 15 Reds with bandanas with AR-15s. You know, because they just come off as... I mean, even packing military hardware just come off as just weak. They come off as not, you know, they are the skinny jeans and like the you know, the shoes they're wearing. It all comes together. But what's up with the escalation, Matt Parrott?
Well, they're desperate. They're cornered and confused, and they have no option. In fact, I'm kind of nervous because it seems like it's just a matter of time before one of them just flips out and just kills somebody. As an overtly Antifa action, because they've got no other options. They've completely lost the debate. They can't really take our platform. Even if tomorrow morning they went out and shot Heimbach and Spencer and five other people who are sort of in the lead, new people would emerge. We've got the momentum. We've got the right ideas. We've got the zeitgeist. They can't argue our positions, they can't block our platform, and they just have to sit there in terror as our movement rises.
All I think is that that hell march from like Command and Conquer, you know, where you start getting the boots come in. I mean, you can't stop it. You can't stop it. I mean, it's the sort of thing that used to be like, you go to a public rally and like, you get a bunch of Jews to buy them the biggest speaker system you can possibly carry to try and drown us out. And they're like, ha, no one heard your message. It's like, dog, we got YouTube. Like, we were actually filming it from five angles to make it cinematic, to be able to just do like a YouTube cut and get that out and reach 100,000 people. This wasn't even for you. Like, thanks though. You know, I mean, everything that technology has changed things. It's really brought things together. Speaking of technology, what a side note, the meme that you saw, and commented on, it was basically about, switchboard operators. And taking a swipe at coal miners. And I saw several other things actually just today. You know, one guy of this leftist with a very snarky. So you're telling me just because some people in Ohio want the jobs that their dads did, we've got to stop all human progress, technology, and overturn the global economy like, you know, expletive, you know, white working class crybabies. So the left is getting, you know, speaking of escalation, is getting more anti-white, which I thought, you know, I feel like I'm engaging in warp speed right now. Like, my face is like, oh, you know, with how absolutely out of control the left has been. But they're getting more anti-white, like, anti-white worker. Like, what's going on?
Well, their train got no breaks. You do have more intelligent ones like Michael Moore and Bernie Sanders attempting to apply the brakes. But, this machine runs on anti-white hate. And you can't change your fuel source halfway through the ride. As much as, you know, these sort of old school socialist ideologues would like to pull it back and be like, look, we need to be for all working folks. It ain't going to work. They're just going to do what they did to Bernie the first time he tried to say that. At the beginning of Bernie's campaign, he tried to have like a message that reached everybody. And a gaggle of sheboons came up, grabbed his microphone, and said, no, this is about hating on Whitey, and dropped the microphone right in front of his face. And the rest of Portland, of all places.
Okay. I mean, it's only in Portland that, like, Bernie Sanders is, like, the right-winger, you know? Like,
well, you know, they see this happening, and they can't stop it, because the leftist coalition under Obama's administration before became, you know, that was their whole vision. Remember, you know, we talk about 3 months ago, like it was eons ago, but remember back when it was understood that because of changing demographics that the Republican Party was hosed?
Yeah. I mean, it was a different era, you know?
It was a different time, yeah.
You need a Sherpa to be able to, like, guide you through the hills to be able to get you back, you know? I don't know. Things are changing so quickly. It sounds like such an old person thing to say. I feel like I'm getting old, you know, but things are changing so quickly. Rage fuel, we just talked about this before we were on the air, but it really rage fueled me really hard. To give me the energy, even being sick, to do the show today. So in France, there's this association for folks that, like, help get job training and stuff for people with Down syndrome. And, of course, as we know, people with Down syndrome are sterile, cannot reproduce. So from a, you know, eugenics question, just for everyone, we'll get that out of the way, they can't have kids, so it's not even an issue. But this association was promoting, like, getting education and showing that, like, people with Down syndrome can, you know, while obviously not live a normal life, can still be loving, still learn basic job skills, still learn how to write in a rudimentary way, learn how to speak. And it was basically like, hey, I'm a person, mom, don't murder me. Because in France, almost 100% of all women who find out that they have a Down syndrome baby abort it. So they murder their baby. And the court in France actually banned this advertisement going out because Down syndrome people in it smile. And that might humanize the hundreds of thousands or millions of babies butchered by French women over the past couple generations. So that really rage-fueled me, because now we're not even talking about a question of, like, is a fetus is a person or stuff. Like, that, it's not even arguing the abortion debate from, like, the beginning. What it's saying is, in, like, that court ruling is, fetuses are babies. And if you see, like, a baby smile, then you're going to realize that you're a murdering git and are a horrible person and should go to prison. So basically conceding the pro-life position in the worst way possible.
Well, that's just the lack of sanctity of human life as we grow more degenerate, as we move further and further away from our authentic faith traditions. What a lot of people who don't care about this may not grasp is you're next. These people creating this new secular morality, the people at the helm are the Jews and oligarchs. And sooner or later, whether it's Downy babies or people with other congenital conditions, at some point, you're next. And for our eugenicist listeners, there are ways to promote the genetic health of a population without selling your soul and killing children. They're
which we should harmed. We should be encouraging in every capacity a healthy people. I mean that must be done, but it must be done like if you're gardening, you don't like, you know, you trim, you don't destroy the rose bush, you don't cut the rose bush in half. You gently nurture the rose bush, and that's what a people is. It's an organic thing.
Well, everybody tries to make it this trolley riddle, like, you know, are you going to abort a baby or have a world where everybody
is retarded?
It's like, dude, this trolley question is a false paradigm. Calm down. We can ensure the genetic health and even advancement of our people without having to make these grave moral sacrifices.
Just be nice. Just be good. Just be moral. It doesn't seem that hard, you know. But anyway, that fundamentally bothered me. And the same day, I'm clicking around, and the Pope has now said that all priests can forgive abortion, not just the Pope, which has been the current Catholic Church rules. And I reminded myself why I wasn't Catholic. And that really just pisses me off, because, like, the Catholics, you know, and this is in terms of the hierarchy, it's not in terms of, like, Catholic people, because some of my best comrades are Catholic, usually instead of a contest or SSPX, but lots of mainline Catholics too, amazing people, love them to death. Even still good clergy are still out there. I know some of them. But when it comes to the Vatican, when it comes to Rome, they've flipped, and there was, like, the one issue they were still good on. They turned against us when it comes to immigration and, you know, all these sorts of different issues. But they were good on pro-life. And now they're losing that. Matt Parrott, what's going on?
Well, I mean, if you want your matzo balls to turn out just right, you've got to have all the right ingredients. And
including a local Christian child?
I didn't say anything about that, and I find blood libel to be deeply offensive.
We don't talk about it anymore. I mean, not to go down that rabbit hole that you now engage, but
abort.
No, that's no, what we're talking
abort,
about.
Don't abort. Don't abort.
In the day of the Podesta spirit cooking, and let's just talk about blood libel just real quick. Just real quick. Throughout history,
spirit cooking with Pope Francis.
Oh, that sounds like it could be a really wacky television show.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, when we do sketch comedy,
wackity schmackity do. But no, let's talk about that. That in every country the Jews have ever resided, they always get found out to be killing children, and then torturing them, and engaging in satanic rituals, and then devouring their blood or something like that. Every country in the Middle East.
This is a special new segment called I'm Just Saying.
I'm just saying they are literally the devil's minions incarnate upon our planet because they eat children.
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying.
I'm not saying that they are truly, truly the most evil things that have ever walked upon the face of the planet in comparison to any virus or disease. The bubonic plague would be better to have within your own national borders than a single Jew.
Well,
but I'm just saying.
The bottom line here is I've got several things I really would like to get accomplished over the coming months. So if we could switch topics here so I can get those things accomplished before getting mysteriously...
having the brakes in my car disappear.
There were several cops shot over the weekend, it looks like. I'm seeing here all across America.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it looks like it was a targeted Blue Lives Don't Matter thing here. I know last week wasn't one of the guys white, like he got mad that like he got a taillight speeding ticket and
it was like a dude who got like he was really big on the Confederate flag. Like
oh yeah. Yeah, it was shark. Actually one of
that guys. was one of us. Well yeah. not like one of us, but that was and like
broadly speaking.
Yeah, that was Team Whitey. you know. Our bad.
That's, yeah.
I mean, that's the problem with, like, the sovereign citizen types, you know, that they really do just itch to, like, pick fights with your local sheriff's deputy, like, you know, the guy you see at, like, the Little League game.
I mean, I don't approve of it, but I do tell you, one time very early in my activism career, I attempted to work with the local police regarding some threats to our venue. And the police actually told the venue to shut us down in direct contradiction of, like, everything we had agreed to. And, you know, ever since then, like, I've had, like, a straight-up 90s rapper F the police thing just from that one incident where, like, they're dressed up in these costumes like they're an authority, and they just lie straight to your face, and they think they're so clever. They think they're so powerful.
Cause you get your GED and your radar gun and think you're...
yeah, and there's they get that smirk. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. I just used my authority incorrectly. What are you going to do about it? I get that. And, you know, this whole, like, I don't know. I'm generally supportive of the police against all this Black Lives Matter stuff. And as far as these, to the extent that they're organized, active campaigns, not just some random guy in Missouri, but active political campaigns to target cops for this race war thing, obviously I'm on blue team with that. But
blue team when it means white team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's just a challenge because they come after us too, right? I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, and that's where it's very easy to get hopped up on the Blue Lives Matter thing, but at the same time, like, white Blue Lives Matter, and only in the capacity that they're not working actively against us. I mean, like,
a lot of times the beat cops are gray. It's always the chief, though.
Well, yeah, it's a political appointment. I mean,
yeah.
And it's like, it was Dave Chappelle or one of the black comedians that was talking about, like, Blue Lives Matter. It's like, it's a job. It's a uniform. If you don't like what the job entails, take off the costume and don't do it, you know?
I almost want to, like, the old-fashioned idea of the local police officer as a heroic figure. I mean, I grew up in a very Andy Griffith Show context where that's true. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, my Andy Griffith Show reality is increasingly not the Andy, you know, not the state of modern law enforcement as it's become more militarized and politicized. And you can bet, including under the Trump administration, there will still be this active campaign to target, infiltrate, harass, and disable white advocacy.
Well, I mean, specifically because if Jeff Sessions is going to town on Black Lives Matter and stuff, they're going to have to go after us just to show that they're...
For balance. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Sessions actually prosecuted the Klan. You know, it is kind of a...
Well, don't smoke marijuana, because good people don't smoke marijuana, as Jeff Sessions told us.
Yeah, Jeff liked the Klan until he found out they smoked marijuana.
Put that stuff out. That's telling you that. That's where...
But, I mean, that's great. I mean, the bottom line is I don't want a purity spiral, and generally, you know, like Trump's appointments, you know, you got to have your ideologue hat on, and you also got to have your practical hat on, and you got to know when to wear which hat. And you know, it's like the Secretary of State position. Do I want, you know, Mitt Romney to have it? I'd rather not. The man is a super cuck. But then if, like, that John Bolton is in the running, please give it to Romney, you know? And
yeah, special underwear guy gets it.
Yeah, give it to the magical underpants man. You know, generally so far, holding to Bannon, who's not a white nationalist, he's not.
Hold on, everyone, hit the alt-right skylight so we can spray it into the clouds. Bannon is not... Oh, did you see, by the way, that on Twitter it was trending Jewish resistance? Like, they literally...
Oh, they're ready for another show.
Yeah, they're saying that, like, he is building the camps as we speak. This is the most hilarious thing since Ben Garrison got linked, you know, as being supposedly a crazy white supremacist. He's like, I'm just a libertarian who wants to do cartoons. Bannon is not a white nationalist by any capacity, thought, or way, shape, form, whatever. But they're literally saying he's Hitler. They're on the streets of New York City saying Steve Bannon is a Nazi. Steve Bannon is going to try to kill Jews. That is not an improper use of the word literally. They're actually saying this. They've lost their minds.
Right.
Jewish resistance. Jewish resistance to, I mean, they're just admitting that all he does is call out, like, bankers and oligarchs without ever saying they're Jews. They admit every single time that they are what we claim they are.
Well, I mean, the Jews are actually doing it. So anytime somebody's talking about it, they're talking about Jews. It's like with David Icke and the reptilians. Like, his stuff, you basically, you know, you can hit Control H in Microsoft Word and do a find and replace. And he just takes the Jewish, global Jewish Masonic conspiracy and does a Control H on Jews and puts reptilian space aliens. And that's his whole thing. And, you know, Steve Bannon does the whole thing. He does a Control H on Jews and does, like, the, you know, the globalists. And you know, I mean, that's something, because at the end of the day, once you apply a mythos, once you apply a template like that, it's very easy. I mean, all you have to do with somebody who read who believes in David Icke is be like, yo, dog, that's actually Jews. And poof. You know, they've already got all the rest of the framework in place.
Now then the Hell March comes in their heads. They've got it all figured out.
Yeah, I mean, and that's basically the issue with that is Bannon is playing a dangerous game here for them. It's a fun game for me, where he's actually addressing the real enemy in code, and even addressing the real enemy in code. Implants that template, okay? Because when you're actually talking about the globalists, by which I mean Jews, you're talking about the real problem, indirectly as it were, but that's a far step removed from what the Republicans were doing beforehand when they were complaining about the Democrats and liberalism.
For real racists.
Yeah, yeah, Democrats are the real... Get off the Democrat plantation.
They've been opposing us since they founded the KKK. Yeah. Back in the day, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Where was it? Michael Steele, the guy who used to run the...
Yeah, group? Michael Steele.
Where did he go? He was out of his mind, but he made things fun.
Yeah, for like a 6 month period, the GOP was officially the Democrats as a real racist party. Mm. It was absolutely over the top. It was fun time, and that was a few years ago, back before fascism was imminent. That was when we thought we were going to lose.
Just throw anything. We got spaghetti here. Throw it against the wall. See what might help. We need at least two more points, you know, in Texas. You know, let's see what we can do. No, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Man, we covered a lot of ground today. This is what happens when Heimbach is on his weather and not as focused as he should be. But we covered cops. We covered spirit cooking. We covered. Down syndrome babies, eugenics, by golly, we're going, and Democrats are the real racists.
Yeah.
The real racists, caps.
And we touched on Trump's cabinet appointments.
Oh man, I think that's a special day. So Parrot, come ahead and give us, we're coming to the end, so what's the final thought for our dear listeners, especially we're almost near Thanksgiving, let's start preparing for that.
Our final thought is we're approaching the holidays. Is on the importance with Thanksgiving approaching of effectively reaching out to your family, your friends, and your loved ones with these ideas. For the first time in our adult life, these ideas are surfacing in public debate. And, you know, maybe you've got an SJW relative coming to dinner. Maybe you got that relative with the half black niece who insists that the entire family has to be anti-white because they have a half black niece. You know, to which I say, nope,
not welcome.
Yeah, not welcome. Well, that's what's so offensive. It's like I've got a half black niece, so I'm not going to tolerate any racism. It's like, well, I've got a white niece, so I'm not going to tolerate any anti-whiteness. So, poof, at you. Yeah, they think they're the only ones, you know, with any moral stake. And they, you know, oh, it's just maddening.
If only they understood the depths of which we're willing to go for the sake of our people, they wouldn't even try and argue with us.
Yeah,
but they've been told they're special snowflakes.
Yeah, but it's imperative to name the Jew.
It is not an opportunity. Yeah, you and drunken Uncle Edgar talking about the gentleman of color and the Jews. This is the year that literally we are in the White House. We is president now.
Yeah.
Not so much
racist
actually.
Racist uncle and alt-right nephew are taking over Thanksgiving.
By our powers combined.
Racist uncle made all my nephews back from college, and now he's red-pilled as hell.
So get out there, prepare your stuff, and let's go ahead and red-pill some of our families, because politics is changing. It's a great time. And things are great. So, comrades, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate, Parrot, whenever I do a podcast with you, I feel like I'm doing like an informal jam session.
Woot, woot.
Yeah, so it's good times. But remember, Thanksgiving's coming up. Plan to be with your families. Plan to red pill them. It's going to be great. Now I'm going to be here tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So have a great rest of your day, and hail victory.
Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.